Welcome back. It's Friday Night Sports Talk with your host, Ray Bishop, on Urban Māori Radio Wate, 6:03 a.m.
Kia ora whānau, nau mai hoki maiki tēnei hotaka ringi te wātea, ono rau mā toru te iarere, i tēnei pō, tēnei honrere māku ki te kōrero pāniki ngā tangata rungunui, i ā, ngā kēmu hākenekena o Aotearoa me te āhoki, tuatahi ki te kōrero pāniki, Mr. Junior Tanu'u, ko ia te tangata rungunui o te kapa ōpango o taua wā. And so in his wā, it's in his time, he was one of the best, and he was one of my faves, and he joins us now on the Friday Night Sports Talk here on Radio Wate. Kia ora, JT, how are we going, brother?
Oh, kia ora, Ray. Good to see you, and nice to see you back, Huck. I know it's been a while since we talked, but nice to see you back here, brother.
Very cool, brother. JT, I know that you're on your way to watch the Blues play host to the Highlanders. How do you see this game going this evening, brother? Obviously not too far away, so we'll pick your brain and then let you go and enjoy the game. But how do you see tonight's battle against the Blues and the Highlanders? How do you see this one rolling out?
Yeah, well, this is a knockout game for the Highlanders, really, and this is a sort of last chance for the Blues to get their combinations right. Now Dalton's back after his short suspension, but other than that, it should be a really good game. Of probably see the best of the Highlanders tonight, as they're sort of really battling for their lives in this competition, to stay alive in the competition.
And they obviously, their win last week was pretty monumentous, given it could be the last for Aaron Smith, the Nug, down there. You know what a sensational, as you must know, bro, must with so much pride to see the way that he's contributed to the Highlanders over time, with the amount of football he's played for them as well as the All Blacks. And you know, you guys were sharing that jersey. What are your memories of his contribution to New Zealand rugby, brother?
He's a feisty halfback as part of his job description, and one thing that I really admired about Nagy is his consistency. I mean, there's really few times that he ever plays a bad game, and we're pretty tough on him when we talk about him playing a bad game to compared to others, whereas his fluctuation is very minimal in terms of what's a good game and a great game. But he can't fault the way that he prepares, whether it's, you know, his first test or his first game for the Highlanders, right up to his last few games, and he's just been ultimate professional in the way he's been. He prepares himself, and the way he plays, and the way he conducts himself most of the time. But you know, I mean, everybody's entitled to make a few mistakes, but I've always admired him as a person, and being in that high pressure bubble sometimes, it's always a toughie. Toughie for people to understand, and everybody's there to shoot you down. But but him as a rugby player and a footballer, just really impressive. And you know, he's always he always talks about how he goes and plays in that jersey and how he's going to hand it back. And you know, he's done that jersey in particular, that number 9 jersey, really well. He's held it in good stead.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, look, as we celebrate those that conversation about Aaron Smith, any other highlights from last week's round for you?
Sorry, what was that again about the halves?
So just saying, did you have any highlights on the last round? Any highlights for you?
Well, it's interesting, you know, just how nice to see John R4 come back after a thousand games of other first-class rugby to come back and just play like he just fitted in quite nicely, and that just really shows the measure of the type of professional he is and what he's done over in France. And just the way that Crusaders team, no matter who comes in, they just seem to roll over that culture and the team that comes through. The Highlanders, you know, really gutsy win down in the Forsyth Bath, and also giving a good send-off for Nagy and a few other players that are moving on. Looks like Mikaeli is also going to. But you just, I just couldn't go past the performance of Mark Dallaire Hence why, even at the cold night, I'm going to go there and watch them, and hopefully we'll have another one of those performances. Because it was cold, wet, and the standard of, you wouldn't have thought it was a wet day, the way he handled that ball, and he made some players look very average. And there are some good defenders in that Hurricanes team. So, you know, he's... you know those times where that player just warrants the admission to go and watch? Well, Mark Dallaire is that player at the moment where, you know, Jonah used to be that one, where people just come just to watch Jonah. Dan Carter, you know, come because of what he does on the football field. And Mark Dallaire is one of those exciting players that, you know, looking forward to. And just the way that he performed, it's almost like it's his first name on that boarding pass to Francis. Next to solidify by putting a surname on there, but he's playing outstanding rugby, and I'm looking forward to this game of desperation tonight for both teams. To be honest, they need to come out with good wins.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't quite believe what I was watching last week. He just seemed to, you know, it was one of those instances that I think it was the last try that he scored. Two Hurricanes players made their way across the screen. The ball was lying in one position, but they went somewhere else, and Tillier went straight to the ball and kind of picked it up and stumbled across the line, which is like, you know, it's the, as you know, JT, it's about being in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. And that's all that he did. And he made, like you say, he made other good players look very ordinary, which is probably the mark of his quality at the moment.
Well, it was almost like, you know how you when I see you play it, and you scoop it the ball off go. But did you see how he reverse scooped it? He didn't sort of go underneath it. He put his hand over, and he cupped it down. Doing it. But he made it look so easy.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. It was like, it was just, you could just stand up and just applaud him for that alone. And that happened to be his fourth one. And there were all four tries that were not easy to score. I mean, they were just difficult. That first one was just sheer power, running off the nine and just going through some of the toughest defenders in Super Rugby. And then one being, you know, Ardy was in the back, and Duplessis Kariffi is, you know, he's no easy person to get through. And then the second one was just like, he just, like Moses parting the Red Sea, and just came up like, wow, and scored under the post, you know, and just blitzed a couple of the quickest guys in Super Rugby, you know, corner flagging him. And then the third one, where it was just traffic. It was traffic everywhere, and he just sort of one jinked one, brushed off the other, and just went untouched over the line. It was just crazy. And then we just talked about, you know, scooping off dummy out, but the reverse scoop, it was just, oh, mate, it's just like, what else can this guy do? It's just amazing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, I thought we can't go past that that humdinger between the Jura and Pacifica, 47-46, bro. That's a pretty amazing game.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it was sort of like a game of tennis, you know, who was holding serve and then the right of reply, and it was a match of who was going to hold this nerve towards the end. And of all the people I thought that would have slotted that one over, that last conversion, I thought Christian Neoluafano would have got that, but you know, it was just pretty much summed up their season. Pretty much, it was the first game they lost the one against Drew, and they should have won, and then the last game was also the same against Drew, and so they got the Waratahs tomorrow night. But I hear whispers that it might be Michael Hooper's last game, and so there's going to be a bit of a lot to play on it, so it'll be interesting to see that game. But I'm hoping, of course, that Moana can get themselves up again, rise again, and see if they can really not only play well. They're playing well. It's just that last bit, just to finish it off.
And it would be remiss of me if I didn't bring up the Chiefs, bro, as the last team to comment before going into the other games of this weekend. But they seem to have the measure of the Brumbies last week from the beginning. They came away with a great score of 31-21. But really interesting heading into this weekend of games, which will see the Force play host to the Chiefs on Sunday afternoon in the sun, which will be great. But other other games that are coming up this weekend, apart from focusing on the attendance to the Blues and the Highlanders, what other games that Canes and Crusaders game should be a good one tomorrow night, bro?
Well, I have to tell me that you had one page of everybody else and 10 pages of talking about the Chiefs. other than that, I agree with you because I knew you were going to bring it up. At the moment, they're a bit untouchable at the moment. And so we're looking forward to finishing off the round and then we're coming into the business end, you know. It all starts all over again. You know, footy's finals footy and, you know, if you lose, you're gone. And so that adds a different dimension to it all. And depending on how the weekend results go, we don't know really who's going to play who, even right from tonight. So results are going to be key to all teams to where they end up in finishing. But you're right. I thought the Brumbies would have done a bit better than that, but I think they're a little bit starstruck with that. Though, when the confidence is high, that the Chiefs team, you know, like you said, they're on a serious roll. I mean, there's rolls, and, you know, when you get on a bit of roll and a bit of momentum. But you know, this is the freight train out of control. This one, the Chiefs. So, yeah.
Mm. Hey, for you last week, just as we try and put it to sleep, did you have anything you had to adjudicate across last week, bro?
No, nothing to adjudicate. No, everything's all honk-a-dory. Everybody's playing well. And yes, there was a couple of close calls, but and that's just me just watching it, really. I thought there might have been a couple of games because, you know, it's a real, like we mentioned, it's a do or die. And so there's a lot playing and a lot riding on these games. Even the game on Wednesday night, I'm sure you're watching that State of Origin, but it's that type of scenario and that intensity at the moment.
I'm still crying. I'm still crying from Wednesday, bro. I'm still crying. I got to get over it.
I was a Wally Lewis fan when I first started, and only because of also Filipino ran over the top of him when he was so I sort of was his fan after that.
Yeah, nice.
Wally Lewis, but I stayed with the Maroons and. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, it was you know, so that type of intensity will be coming this weekend, and now we're sort of gone. We had the start where it's hard and fast tracks. We're now in the middle part where it's raining, and so a test of conditions and tactics. And so now we're seeing them coming towards the end of it, where you know the pressure comes on. It's a do or die situation, and you know everything's on the line. So if you can get into that playoffs, you got a starter's chance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so, as I say, the jury will play host to the Reds. I think the Reds have, since that win against the Chiefs, I think they've been playing pretty good. Yeah, obviously under the last year of Brady Thorne. I haven't heard where he's going at this stage, which is a shame. I thought he may have been going to the Canes, but it looks like Chris Law's got that job. So that'd be still really interesting to go. But how do you see the juror and Reds happening up in Fiji tomorrow, bro?
Well, Fiji again, you know, it's becoming the fortress, and any teams that go over there. But again, you know that you know Brad Thorne mentality on those boys. They're all starting to grow a bit of a spine, and they're getting in there and they're getting amongst it. And so it won't be an easy game, but you know it's going to be a game of tactics. If the Reds start to play open rugby and similar to what the draw are trying to do, then they're not going to win. They've just got to be real disciplined and play their game, driving Moors, lock them in, force them and frustrate them in playing some real upfront rugby, direct rugby, be absolutely quick in clearing rucks and making their tackles, and then just frustrate them into making mistakes. And then when they start to, you know, starve them of ball, when they get bored, they try and, you know, force them to make some high-risk decisions, which means, you know, they're either going to get some good results or they're going to turn over some pill, which they will be able to catch up on. So, you know, but then again, Drew is just so confident at home, and they've got the, you know, what, 15,000-20,000 fans there. So it's going to be a great game to watch, if anything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I support you. I think, you know, my fingers are always going to be crossed for the home nation, especially when it comes to Pacifica and to the Jura. It's just great to see them in there. You know, I know we kind of touched on it when you've got the centre The second five from Moana Pacifica going across the Crusaders.
Yeah,
heard a lot of the kōrero. Pretty. Is that a business transaction? Is that the Crusaders thinking they don't have enough? They've got six like All Black second five centres combinations at the moment. They need someone else. Or is that a push? Do you think by the player maybe for higher honours? With the ABs, I think he's certainly got the goods to become an All Black. What are your thoughts on that, JT?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. He's sort of proven himself the way that he's been playing. I like how Omua's been going, and you know, he's a tough character. You know, because he's starring in a team that's not doing so well. So that's the other thing. And so it's just about, okay, so if he can maintain what he's doing, that's a really good thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but does it also, I guess his, I won't say deflection, but his movement to the Crusaders, does that not then strengthen, does that not weaken Moana Pacifica's capacity? Or does it just leave space for someone else, create an opportunity for someone else for the door to open? I guess that's the thing, because I would say if he stayed with the team, keep doing what he's doing to help lead the way, or is he just not enough and not enough players around to support his development as well?
Well, ultimately, it's his choice, isn't it? And, you know, it would be nice to have him there and back up another season, but, you know, put yourself in his shoes, you know, with a franchise that you're going to, if anything, but grow. And if he's patient, next year he'll be able to join the, in that league. Well, depending on who's going to move, we don't know movements after a Rugby World Cup. We've known guys that have committed to staying to New Zealand. But I think, there is an opportunity there, especially at 12. And, he must have had a word, and coming to someone like the Crusaders, there would have been a discussion with the new incoming All Black coach. And they could do with someone like that who's really strong up front, defends really well, and is scoring tries. So I think that, you know, he could be the answer at that number 12 spot.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You have to agree, because it's nothing. I'd love to see him in an All Black jersey. I think that could be interesting. Obviously, it won't happen this side of the World Cup, but certainly put himself in the frame if that's what he desires. How do you see that? How do you see that force in the Chiefs games?
I think he's a serious contender. I wouldn't write him off now.
Yes. Do you think so?
I think that he'll be around in that mix. Maybe not in the first couple of internationals, but they might just try him out. And who else is there? Is Jordy at 12?
No one else really, is there?
Yeah. Roger's obviously had his issues with his hand, and now he's recovered, but he hasn't been getting any runs, but he will be tonight.
So wow.
there's plenty to play for in their position.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then tomorrow night as well, the Waratahs taking on Pacifica. So obviously, it's round 15. It's the last. For those that aren't making the final series, what would you like to expect from Moana Pacifica tomorrow night to end this season?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of emotion there, in particular for as Aaron Major's last game, and I think Matt potentially. I did have whispers he might be going to France to coach, but we don't know, and there could be a bit of a whole clean out. So, and for all of them, I mean, it's just as much as we love it, it's been not the greatest season to sort of, you know, put the second season in, and so there will be some changes and some personnel will be changed. So this will be their last time to maybe just for each other, just to. Not only enjoy playing for, the special crew of young men, and also for the Pacifica region, but just for some of those boys that will be leaving the organisation. Mm. So there'll be plenty, There'll be a bit of a motion, mate. There'll be a bit of a motion tomorrow, for sure.
What do you see? You know, you're close to it. You're close to the Pacifica team. What do you think it's going to take to run an assessment of the last couple of years to be able to to go to the next level, to be more of a threat, more of a team that could potentially, because they're there and thereabouts. But what's the missing? Is it the coaching? Yeah. Is it what are your thoughts, JT?
It's a myriad of things here, right? I mean, I'm not that close in there to know, but you know, and whatever the changes are, they're only small ones. They're only little ones where, you know, a little bit of adjustment on attitude and finishing off in the game, those micro skills that I saw that I witnessed in particular the first game against Grua, where, you know, just a little bit of rugby now to play the corners and knowing how to close off a game. And also just, it's a tough one. We could always put it on that last conversion from Christian, but, you know, there were other things where they let teams get away from them, and then they play. Then they start playing rugby, whereas, you know, this just needs to be an attitude adjustment on, well, rather than starting when we're down, let's start when we're on from the start of the game. And then knowing how to stay in front and lead the game right to the start to the end. But guys, I mean, you know, out of all the hardest things you can do, the easiest part is get yourself physically fit, and they're all good. They seem to be well. But it's just like the Crusaders. It's just keeping key players healthy right through the season, and losing our Scott Kippen right at the start with Achilles from last year hasn't really been part of the team. In fact, he hasn't played a game. It's a huge loss. And then we're getting Christian in now and again. And those are key players on the field. So I think that, you know, it's just about keeping them healthy and finding that next marquee player. And it's great, you know, when you lose more to a franchise, in particular to like Canterbury, that's good. That's a good outcome for the club. And I wouldn't write them off that the club will be getting their first All Black. So let's wait and see.
Yeah, that's you've made my night. I think that's the thing, that apart from the Blues having a great win in a couple of hours from now, but I think that's a wonderful scenario. I think it's certainly possible, because there's no one else really in the mix for that space. 100%. No, someone that's kind of like got a Sonny Bill kind of threat about him, can offload. He's strong. He can score. He's got pace, and he certainly wouldn't look silly in that. And that number 12 jersey for the ABs, even if he's, you know, second or third string. But JT, thank you once again, brother, for coming on the show. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Just one more thing, Razor, he has played almost every game, and it's not easy to play that in this competition. I mean, you've seen guys that have been breaking down left, right, and centre, and I really think that I think he's a really serious contender to get in this. He'll be definitely in their discussions. Well, I think that, you know, I think that'll be, because he deserves to be there, I think so. In particular in a team that's always going backwards. Because when you're behind the All Black pack and you're going forward, it's easy. And he will be able to make inroads anywhere that go forward. I mean, that good pass from Aaron, you know, dropping off from Bowden or Richie Mwanga, those combinations with him and Rico and Richie or Bodie. I mean, it's just it'll be a different dynamic for him, and you have more freedom. But the stuff that he was getting and still going forward, but going backwards, he'll be amazing in the All Black jersey.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it'd be great to see. So, be great to see when that comes. But really interesting. Yeah. Just before we finish, just before you came on, I was watching the 2017 game between the Springboks and the ABs up at Albany Stadium. I think we were up 31-0 at halftime. But really interesting just how much the rules have changed from 2017 to 2023. Like, there were a couple of instances. Mm-hmm. I think it was the game that kind of started the capitulation of Liam Squire and the head injuries. Like, he took a massive shot off on the shoulder from one of the South African locks, Nesbitt, I think it was. And just looking at how, like, if it happened today, that would it'd be a red card. But you know,
be gone. Just
be gone, bro. Which is such a been some massive shifts in the game and its development for player safety and all those sorts of things. But it's really come a long way from the days of rucking to where it is today. JG, do you think it's better for the game? Yep. What are we making? Is it the spectacle? Does rugby still have the spectacle that and the thrill of the old days, or was it just got faster and better?
I mean, we were just talking earlier about, you know, Mark Tillier and his performance. I mean, you know, that was riveting and was just sort of kept us locked in our seats and watching that game. And oh, it would have been amazing watching it live at a field. And so the spectacle is still there. It's the safety is always going to be the first and foremost and the priority. And so, you know, like we always talk, we've talked in many of our shows that the athletes are getting faster, bigger, stronger, and the impact area is just violent. And so, you know, you just have to get it only a millimeter or centimeter wrong, and it could be, you know, fatal for one of our players. And so safety always has to be. And so you're right, from when they used to play that game, I mean, those South African New Zealand games are always physical without, you know, without the microscope on rules. And it'll still be physical in other areas. It just have to be a little bit more the priority on safety, and particularly around the head area.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And obviously you answered the question. Of course, it's spectacular. It's still amazing to watch when we've got so many great players. We're also looking for the World Cup that's going to come up a little bit later in the year with the goal and the endeavour to be able to bring that home. So thank you for answering that kind of that you know, that question that I was that I had already shaped. But hey, look, my friend, enjoy the Blues and the Highlanders.
Thank you.
And I look forward to catching up with you next week, brother.
Yep. And like we always say as coaches, we love the game as a coach, and we love to go and show and teach what we have. But the most important thing is these young players get home to their families safely. So on that note, thank you, Ray, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, brother. You take care. There you go, whānau, Mr. Junior Tonui, former New Zealand All Black halfback, one of the greats. So lovely to have him give his opinion and thoughts on round 15. It starts tonight, the Blues against playing host to the Highlanders at Eden Park, the team that houses Mr. Aaron Smith, who's on his final campaign with the Highlanders. And his great season. My goal is that he goes away with the All Blacks. He'll be probably the incumbent number nine to help us with our campaign to bring that cup back home. But what we're going to do is that we are going to take a wee little break, listen to a bit of a song. We'll come back on the other side of that, and then we have got Miss Edna is on the line with us, who's going to have a chat with about the 2023 ANZ Premiership Grand Final between the MG Mystics and Stars that's coming up this Sunday. So it's going to be really interesting. It's at Globox Arena in Hamilton. So we'll take a wee little break. No mahuki mai, urungi te whati o te wā, mo te kōrero pāne ki a Erina. Kia ora.